The Kevin Shea Band at Arborcrest, and Contusion, Mass Dead, and Veo at the Jaguar Room in the Chameleon. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
My baby put a spell on me.
Looking for a great night of local music? Join KYRS Thin Air Community Radio, Central Library, and Brick West Brewing Company for another edition of Get Loud in the Library, Friday, July 17th at the Central Library, 906 West Main Avenue in downtown Spokane. Doors open at 6 and the music beginning at 7. Enjoy an evening with the Bedheads, Spokane's own indie rock and folk favorites, known for their authentic sound and deep roots in the local music scene. Experience the grit, storytelling, and musicianship of the Wood Dusters, featuring Tim Doerr and Jason Wayne, whose chemistry and craftsmanship create a sound far bigger than the two players. And prepare for liftoff with Slee Boy and the Easy Sleazies, bringing their psychedelic space jazz fusion from mellow melodic grooves to wild paint-shaking jams. Admission is free, all ages are welcome, and beverages and snacks will be available. Get loud in the library, Friday, July 17th at Central Library. Presented by KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, Central Library, and Brick West Brewing Company.
Distracted driving is responsible for up to 80% of car crashes.
For the last 15 years, approximately 3,200 lives were claimed a year due to distracted driving in the United States, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Stay vigilant while driving. Focus on the road.
Getting ready for a hell of a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth, baby. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. So put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, meet me tonight in Atlantic City. My money away. But I ain't got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. Baby, everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. So put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. It's another beautiful day here in Spokaloo, and I have my friends from who are going to putting on the show Proof. I've got Jess Loomer, Scott Worley, and Skyler Motor. Welcome, everybody. Oh, let me turn on your microphones, and everybody can hear how enthused you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, my apologies for the late start, but the library's closed here, so we have to sneak in. We have to get in through the ductwork, and which entails a lot of dust and dust mites, and then we had to clean ourselves up. And so now we are on the air talking to you. And we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the play Proof.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, what's this play about? And just don't tell me 2 hours long.
Fair enough.
Okay.
No, this play, it's a wonderful play written by David Auburn. The play follows a family after a tragedy. One of the family members has passed away, and it's basically following their dealing with the outfall of all of that, the grief that comes with that, as well as the struggle between inheritance, not necessarily of possessions, but more so of brilliance and mental illness and all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And math.
Lots of math.
Proof. Lots of math. Oh, good. Yeah. So people who are real big fans of math and theater,
This is the show for them.
This is their show.
This is their their sweet spot.
Oh, nice. Have you had anybody come up? You haven't had the show yet, but
yeah.
Are you expecting anybody to come up and say, this equation up there, I had a problem with
I
that.
I hope we get one of those.
Absolutely.
I really hope so.
Yeah. I've had people come and say, just want to make sure the math is right. That's really
right.
What I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, pocket protectors is swag.
Hey, all are welcome. All are encouraged.
Oh, amen.
Scott needs to get on the merch game here.
Absolutely.
On it, Skyler?
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Got it. I already got the t-shirts ordered.
Oh, good. Engraved pocket protectors.
A little closer if you want.
Oh,
Hey, thank you.
There it is.
It'll be a little more comfortable. You. Although your posture is really good that way. This is going to take place at Ella's Supper Club, right?
Yes. Yeah. Within the Montvale Event Center downtown, right across from the Fox.
So they're still calling it the Supper Club, but is it, you can't get supper there, right?
Correct. As much as I wish you could, because I'll be eating in the back, hopefully not crunching too loud on my chips, but you know, no, the nice thing is though, Ella's does offer, they have a bar available, yeah. So we can do cocktails. There will be a proof signature cocktail, which I won't spoil.
Whoa. Nice.
I know. You'll have to come to find out what that is, but,
For some of us, that is our supper.
Absolutely.
So that's perfect.
A whole nother meaning to proof.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, and for those of you who don't drink, there'll be non-alcoholic beverages, you can join me with the chips in the back too, you know?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. What, so this is not, you are not part, this is not like a theater. This is not such and such theater. You've just sort of like a one-off thing, right? You just got together a group of people that you wanted to do a show with, and you're doing this show.
Correct. Yeah. I came back into town a couple months ago.
Where were you?
Well, I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, working at a theater over there called Sight and Sound.
Okay.
And I got back here, and there's just, this town has way too much talent not to be doing something, you know?
I know.
So there are so many amazing theaters in this town, and I just wanted to put something up, but I didn't feel led really to like start a new organization.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we have so much talent in so many different ways that I felt we could pull together local artists and put up a play. Part of that, I credit to my education at Eastern Washington.
Okay.
They taught us how to...
What a wonderful theater program.
I love it. Yeah. Taught us how to basically just put up a play. So I'm essentially doing my capstone project again, you know,
self-producing.
Yeah. And I just think, I think it's a testament to the amount of talent and, wonderful artists that make up this community.
Yeah. And so you're producing and directing it.
Correct.
So, how is that to wear both hats?
I'm very tired. no, it's...
And he's building the set.
Yes.
Oh, even... Nice.
Yeah, so...
I totally get where you're coming from with this thing.
And
I'm
the stage managing, aren't you?
No, we do have a stage manager.
Do, okay.
I was, and then Faith Broadwater saved me.
Yes. They came.
Oh, yeah, I saw her on your Facebook.
Yes. Okay. So...
They're doing a great job.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the team is essentially made up of... we have four cast members. We have a stage manager. We have publicity, Skylar Motor, publicity and keeping me sane, receiving the text messages, me going, help me. and then we have Jesse Worley, who is my brother. He is sound designing.
I saw that.
Yeah.
How's that working with your brother?
Honestly, I've looked for an excuse for years to work with my brother. I would love to say, you know, oh, he's the worst, but he's just not. He's so good, and it's annoying.
Well, you know, it's what a treat to have everybody in your family creative like that?
Not everyone, but all in our own different ways. We all kind of like enjoy theater in different forms. And it's really cool. You know, whether it be my brother sound designing, me, you know, acting and directing and producing. I got my voice from my mom, you know, and she's been in lots of theater. And, you know, my sister's done theater as well. It's just, it's a very theatrical family, but also in the sense of we just enjoy being around it, you know. So
it's a good buzz from it.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
That's for sure. And I'm gonna ask you two questions here, but I wanna ask, why did you decide that this is the play that you wanted to do?
I was asking myself that in the car this morning as well, trying to get ready. You know, proof has been something I've looked at for a long time. It's funny, being over in Pennsylvania, the actors I've worked with, everybody's touched proof. Not everybody, but many people from across the country. I had a friend who, he grew up in Alabama, and part of his acting school was doing proof scenes. It's a phenomenal thing for actors. And I wanted a script that, one, gave good challenge to actors, really brought out good subtext, gave them something to grow on. Me as a director, gave me something to work with and grow as well. The whole point of this is growth. But also I'm really drawn to the concepts of dealing with, grief and dealing with emotions. I'm a big advocate for, therapy and processing your emotions in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And I think we see examples of that done very well in this play, that done very poorly in this play by everybody, you know? So just the struggle with mental health really spoke to me. Plus just frankly, the actors, I saw it, and one of the I call it a curated cast because I didn't hold auditions. I just kind of went out to friends of mine and people I've seen in the community that just blew my mind and said, hey, you know, would you consider doing the show with me? And they said yes, which is crazy. So I hope to do more, and I hope to work with even more talented people in the community.
Well, I tell you, I always feel the best when I don't audition and somebody asks me to be in it, because I always feel like, well, it was your, I didn't ask to be in this play.
Your reputation precedes you. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah. Hey, you asked me. You came to me. Just remember that.
Wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
So.
No, exactly. The cast is just phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. I looked at who you have, and they're all my faves. It's great. Yeah. It's wonderful. And Jess, let's talk about your character a little bit.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I play Claire. She is the older sister character to the main character, Catherine. And I would describe Claire as kind of that type A bossy older sister, which my husband lovingly said, oh, typecast. And which I said that was very rude, but probably true. So I play Claire, and I'm one of the, I don't know, I'm in probably a quarter to a third of the play, which is really a blessing and so amazing. So working with these all other amazing actors has been such a gift.
Is this a character a lot? I would imagine that the person who has died, the father, I think, is that father in the play at all?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Played by Todd Beadle, a local actor. I mean, he's been an actor. I don't even know how to describe his resume. He's been an actor all over the country.
MFA
in acting, but settled down in Spokane with family. He's also my uncle. So this was hi.
Nepotism.
Are you busy?
Just kidding.
but I knew he was an actor who could hold it down and then be able to balance. The unfortunate thing is the two of them, Todd and Jess, are never on stage together, which is the one thing I feel like I'm missing.
That's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
I was wondering, you know, because the father is a mathematical genius.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And correct. So is your character sort of like the father in a way, or sort of?
I would say actually the younger sister, Catherine, the main character, is more like the father.
Okay.
So she's got some mathematical genius. Claire, although she is smart in her own way and she's very business savvy, she's not at the same level of genius. You know, she has a line that she says, I probably inherited about 1/1000th of my father's ability.
Okay.
So she's still smart, but it's not genius math smart, if that makes sense.
It's fascinating because through the process of the show, we found one of the themes that came out through the research and through the exploration of the show is creative drive in mathematics as well as analytical, what we think about mathematics. And Claire is a currency analyst. So she's, when we think math, she's numbers, quick, smart.
Yeah.
And she's basically correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
She's the dumbest, brilliant person on stage. They're all just rip roaring smart people.
Yeah.
And, Claire is she's seen in the show as like, you know, she can hang on, which is funny because to any of us, Claire would be just brilliant. And, you know,
she's boardroom brilliant.
Oh, she is. Yeah. She's got the street smarts.
Right.
That's good. And Skylar, you're promoting this thing.
Yeah.
Do you kind of wish you were up there with them doing this, or is this sort of like, are you okay with that?
You know, I've been loving The Breakaway. I've been loving watching all of my fellow artists do their thing and being able to support in any way, whether it's on stage or off stage. I think it's all important. So,
well, your stuff and people will be able, when they look online, they can see some of your handiwork.
Yes.
Your graphic design is
beautiful,
really beautiful.
Design. Thank you.
Yeah. And are you a math person? Do you like math?
Oh, no. Please don't check. Check any of the equations.
Check all the math on the poster.
Tell us. How about you guys? Are you math folks at all?
Pass.
You know what's funny? I found I enjoy spreadsheets at the most basic levels.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell you why, but it's a lot of fun organizing through spreadsheets. It all has, for me though, it has to be connected to theater. You give me a spreadsheet related to anything else, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, hey, what about a schedule or, you know, a budget? I'm like, oh, yeah, theater, totally.
I can get excited about a spreadsheet. That's for sure. My coworkers will tell you I love spreadsheets and formulas.
I was a computer science math major.
Back in the day,
when you couldn't be, a computer science major because it was so new.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so I was a computer science math major, and I was pretty good at math. Okay. But we got to a part like the most upper level math stuff out at Eastern, and there was I remember like one of the equations we had to like, the instructions were, well, you flip this integer here, you would flip that to, you know, positive to a negative. And I would say, well, on the other side of the equation, you don't do anything. Why does that work? And the instructor's like, well, it just does. You just have to do it.
You just have to learn it.
And I was like, I felt like my brain, like I was falling down the stairs in my brain. Because it was like everything up until that point was this beautiful, like, art that things played with each other. And now you can't explain to me why I have to do this. I'm done with this major.
So wait, what, if you don't mind me asking, what did you move to next?
Well, my roommates, they never had homework. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are your guys' majors? Marketing.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
That's right. So then I just, all my computer science moved over to marketing.
Absolutely.
And it was great. But it was like, I don't think I'm a purist, but my brain just couldn't take
That's fair. Well, again, you bring up a really interesting thing. It's this play is wonderful because it helps people. I mean, one, people who understand math are going to be enthralled, but people maybe like some of us who math is not our favorite thing.
I know.
Sorry, Scott.
I can do pips. I have like a really good Sudoku move.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it. But,
oh, yeah.
It shows the beauty and the elegance of other disciplines through this play. And I think that's something in theater, we're constantly looking for beauty and how to bring that out in the world. And something I love that David Auburn did was he brought beauty out of something that we can see as technical. I really encourage you. People are like, a play about math? No, thank you. You know, I challenge them. I'm like, hey, you know, come and see if you can find the beauty within the mathematics, because I can say as we've gone through the process, I've been amazed constantly over and over again by the beauty that you can find in the other disciplines. And I mean, as theater artists, we're curators of everything, right?
Amen.
And it's so incredibly written as well. Mm. It's, okay. Is it Pulitzer Prize winning?
Yeah, 2000.
And Tony
Award winning, yes. Yeah. So and just beautifully, beautifully written.
Which I think it's currently revived on Broadway now with Don Cheadle. And
there was a movie too, right?
Yes.
Back in the early
2000s. Wonderful. Yeah. So the funny thing is, to my knowledge, and if anybody's, I don't want to say the incorrect thing, but I'm welcome to correction if
They'll
I am
correct
wrong.
You, don't
right.
worry.
You can call in.
Good. Yeah. Please call in and correct me, please. But to my knowledge, the last time it was done in full production was in the early 2000s, I think at Eastern. So it's a play.
You mean locally?
Yeah, locally. Sorry, locally. And so it's a wonderful play. It's a play we touch a lot, but it's not a play we see produced a lot. And so I'm very excited to have it back up and, you know, maybe look back and say, hey, what other shows have we not seen come around again? You know?
Yeah.
You know,
for a couple of decades.
Thanks for that clarification on locally, because the phone line lit up. When you said locally,
they were ready.
They stopped.
That's right.
The light went out. I have to go do my 20-minute after the hour stuff, and then we'll be right back. But before we do, we should let people know how they can get tickets.
Mm. Absolutely, yes. So we have an Eventbrite link. You can find it on Facebook. If you have questions and you don't have social media, you can email. Oh, gosh, don't put it in the email. Oh, wait,
Skylar will help you. Don't worry.
Oh, bless you, Skylar. Read the paper. Stick to the notes, Scott. ProofSpokane2026@gmail.com. I have that email. I can check and email you back, but you can also go to bit.ly/ProofSpokane and get tickets for this, not this weekend, but the next weekend.
Right. And it runs when?
It runs July 9, 10, 11, all at 7 p.m.
Okay. And I just, I found if you put Proof Spokane Theater, it'll just Google that too.
Perfect.
Okay. I'm going to play a little music while I load up this other computer here. And we're going to listen to the house band, the Green Warriors, and they're doing a little asteroid surfing. We'll be right back.
out and about. Receive support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for July 3rd through the 5th. Friday, Jim Elvidge at True Legends, The Ronaldos at the Manitou Park Bench Cafe, Steady Rockwell at Brick West, Imagine Jazz at Hotel Indigo, Nova at Bolos, Inland Trio at Iron Goat, Sean Stratty's Piano Party at Zola, and Texas Ketamine, Skin Cushion, Torrent, and Curbside Carnage at the Big Dipper. Saturday, John Wayne Williams at Brick West, the Spokane Symphony at Riverfront Park, One Street Over at the Centennial Hotel, Tumbleweed River at the Rocket Market, Carly Osika and the Prairie Fire Band at Northern Quest, and Hell's Bells and the Bobby Patterson Band at The Point at Two Rivers Resort. Sunday, Dante D'Angelo at Iron Horse in the Valley, Just Plain Darren at the South Hill Grill, the Kevin Shea Band at Arborcrest, and Contusion, Mass Dead, and Veo at the Jaguar Room in the Chameleon. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVE KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
And he was just like, oh, I saw what you were doing. Okay, we're telling stories here, but we are back. And thanks for everybody for listening to all that good stuff. And we are talking about the play Proof, and which is playing not this week, but next week. We're kind of... we talked a little bit about the characters. Jess, you're the only one who's acting in this, right? Who's here today?
That's currently in this
room. Yeah, your way to represent.
Thank you. I maybe had the most flexible job to let me out at 4 o'clock. So
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing people forget is that everybody has jobs that do this, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do this as our hobby because we love it. It's our passion.
It's the way to do it. I mean, I think Europe's really... You know, it's funny you see like so many, like in sports and stuff, so many people are just, they have regular jobs, but their heart is with doing whatever they're doing. And I think that's what's cool about theater around here.
For sure.
Yeah. So tell me about this theater that you were at in, was it Pennsylvania?
Oh yeah, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Yeah, it was called Sight and Sound, big old theater. They talked a lot about it. They're like, it's a theater in a cornfield.
Cool.
So it was outdoors?
No, it just happened to be in the middle of Amish country.
Yes.
It was a Christian theater. They put up Bible stories and I had some wild experiences. I got to ride a horse on stage at one point. Unfortunately, I was over there. I was a lighting technician and then an actor and a teacher at their conservatory program. Then my knees blew out and I was like, okay, it is time to go home. Transition. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
You said Bible stories?
Yeah.
So like what, like full length productions on Bible stories?
Yeah. So they write original content. And then, when I was there, I did, what was the first one? David and Goliath story.
Oh, cool.
Daniel and the Lion's Den, those kinds of things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty fun. Was it a pretty old theater? Pretty new or?
Actually, they just celebrated, I think this week, their 50th anniversary.
Oh, wow. So it's been around a while.
Oh, been around a while, yeah. And they say it's popped up in a cornfield because they just started doing shows and they were like, there's tons of farmers around. And they were like, what if we put cows in the show? You know, which I tried to do with Proof, but it didn't work out. They couldn't make it up the stairs to the rehearsal space.
Right.
I was like, all right.
Oh, shoot.
Like, no horses.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there are Shakespeare shows with dogs and things in them.
Don't give it away.
I'm sorry. I'm just, I'm always thinking of the next thing.
What I've always wanted to do is a sock puppet Jesus Christ Superstar.
That sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, we did a buddy of mine, we were at doing a some puppet free stuff over at Manitou, and we wound up, Michael, I don't know if you remember Michael. Yeah. So Michael and I, well, there were a bunch of us doing this thing. But Michael and I broke into I forget what song it was. It was by the Japanese Garden. Of course, we didn't ask for permission. We just set up our stuff and we started doing it. And people stopped. And they applauded. So I think there's some legs for Sock Puppet.
Oh, there you go.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Sure.
I think that puppetry is its own mastery of skill. I don't know. I think, yeah, the Jesus Christ Superstar Sock Puppet, you got me thinking. I'm going to be dreaming about it.
Okay, yeah.
Say you like puppets, you have to go see Mad Underground.
Ooh, okay.
What's the process been like for you so far doing this? I mean, it's been so, it's a different type of actors, I suppose, you have here, and you're back kind of on your own home territory.
Yes. Yeah. Born and raised here. First time I moved out away. I mean, the furthest I'd moved away from home was Cheney at first and then Pennsylvania. So it was a bit of a jump. But coming back, the first thing I did was I called my friend Skylar and I said, so I'm bored and I got to do some theater. And and she was like, okay.
Can confirm.
Yeah, can confirm.
Let's make it happen.
So what are we doing?
Did you guys know each other at Easter? Oh.
Yeah, we went to school together.
Yeah,
and Scott's always been a like fire under the butt constantly. Like, what project can we do? What project can we do? What project can we do? And I don't know, the question that I've been asking for a while is, why do we need any theater to do art? We have so many artists in this town. So if you want to do it, just do it. And Scott went, bet. I'm doing it.
I think that's such great advice.
Support local arts.
Well, because so many theaters have, I think most of the theaters that I have done work with have dissolved organizations. Right. And, you know, and that's okay.
What's the common thread about that, Maeve? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I think that too. That's proof.
That's proof.
There we go.
Proof is in the pudding.
QED.
You need to have pudding at the concession stand. Proof is in the pudding. No. That's too punny.
No, I see it. I'm ready. You're
ready. But I think, you know, I wrote Plan 9 from Outer Space. Have you ever seen the movie?
Yeah.
So the station manager here said, I always wanted to do a radio version of that. So I looked and there was radio versions of it, but I didn't like them because they just made fun of the movie. And I thought, if you're going to do this, you need to play it straight and make it as bad as the movie, but play it straight.
Absolutely.
And so I rewrote the whole thing. And then kind of did the same kind of casting you did. And then it was just a one-time thing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we worked at it for a couple months, and then we had one night here. Halloween lives on. It got recorded. But I love projects like that.
Yeah.
And you're sad when everybody's done, you know, but it's like, I like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I found, you know, oftentimes with creative ideas, it's got to come out somehow. It's going to burst out whether you know, it's either going to be a healthy way or a non-healthy way.
Yeah.
And so I found for me, the way I let that out is through producing and directing theater. You know, I mean, I was an actor for a long time, but I think this is kind of the direction I want to head. And one thing I really like too, is just through the process, something that was important to me was that everybody had the opportunity to like hone their skills, which can sound so pretentious, I realize, but you know, I was a teacher over in Lancaster and I found, you know, I taught the Chekhov method and you can teach all day long. But if you don't have the playground to go try stuff, mess up, screw up, try, throw something at the wall. I say to the cast all the time, let's get weird. You know, let's try it. Let's get weird.
Yeah.
Try something, you know, and if someone's like, well, what about this choice? I'm like, I don't know. You know, we don't know until we throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. Yeah. Like spaghetti, you know?
Yeah.
Are you one of those directors that, you take the actor side and you say, let's talk about your character and like what's your backstory for the character things like that?
Well, I think I'm still trying to figure out what kind of director I am, you know, but I am.
Well, you can be a different director for each.
Like, exactly.
That, keep people on their toes that way.
Now, which Scott are you getting? No. I am a big advocate personally for table work. I always put table work in a process because I think you can't act what you don't know. And I found the best part of directing is the fact that you don't come up with all the ideas. Mm-hmm. We sat for table work for what, 3 days-ish?
Yeah.
Which wasn't nearly long enough, but we were rocking and rolling.
Well, we've continued to find things along the path, too.
But through the conversations, the cast, and it's just amazing what they've brought out and realized through the text. And I'm a big believer in start with the text, because that's what you're working with, whether it's Shakespeare, contemporary play, comedy, farce, anything. And what is there? What's actually on the page? Because these playwrights, again, they pour their heart and souls into these plays, and it's just there for you to mine and mine and mine. Mm-hmm. And so everything from the set design to the light design to the choices, the furniture, everything we have is mined out of what we all found through the journey of the play. And I'll never forget some of the things we've discovered through this play, because they were things that I never considered. And then, you know, Jess would be like, well, what about this? And I'm like, holy crap, you're right. You know, sorry, this is radio.
But. Well, you're going to say crap, but that's
as far as you
can go. This is as far as I can go.
Keeping it G here.
Yeah. Good, yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love, for me, that's the most fun part about it is like coming up with the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love telling a story, you know, and I think that's what actors and directors do is tell the story, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because biblically, doing biblical productions, it's all about what stories do for you.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And what the lessons we can learn out of them, and, you know, whether biblical or anything else, it's there's something about a good story, whether it's merely meant to entertain or whether there's a moral there. And I think both are incredibly valuable. And to counter what I said about, like, you know, let's look back at plays that can be retold, because we all love to rewatch the stories that we love. You know, proof is just me revisiting a story I love.
Yeah.
But we're also on the verge of just all these, you know, playwrights, storytellers, and in Spokane specifically too, people have new stories to tell, and that's something I want to see as well. It's like, I mean, we just saw the Playwrights Festival at Civic, and it's, let's get the new stories out as well, because there are new voices who not only need to be heard, but, you know, because we always think, well, they deserve to be heard, and that's true, but I think we need to hear them as much as they need to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would love to see the old and the new come together in a beautiful, swirling Sunday of theater.
It's quite the metaphor.
Sorry, that was weird. Skylar said,
Do
you need a
podcast for
that?
For
the theater right now.
Rework on that one.
We'll
rework that later.
We'll edit that out in post, right?
Well, so. Jess, you kind of said earlier that there were things you were still discovering.
Yes,
in this
absolutely.
Process. Can you talk about some of that stuff?
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, speaking to Scott as a director, I think the table work is a wonderful foundation, but also there's been so much of the time in rehearsal that he talks about subtext and, you know, asking, hey, for your character, what is your subtext here? What the text is on the page, because sometimes the text is the subtext, but there's so many times when, you know, even as human beings, as people, we say something, but is the message underneath what we're saying truly the words that come out of our mouth?
Yeah.
And that's something that as an actor, you have to dig into, and the text is your Bible, right? For a play, that's your go-to for what the playwright is telling you about these individuals and how they interact with each other. There's so much beautiful writing and so much juiciness in the way that David Auburn writes these characters. You've got the father, Robert, you've got the daughter, Catherine, who's the main character, and she's struggling. She's in her grief. She's got her own questions of mathematics and madness, right? And then you've got her sister flying in, Claire, and she's this very strong, overbearing presence. And then you've got Hal, who's a mathematician, who saw Robert as a mentor and idolizes him, and he's coming to try to figure out if there's anything worth finding in this attic full of notebooks that has writings after writings after writings. And so, yeah, there's just so much beautifulness in the writing itself, in the text. So I know the other day we were at rehearsal, and Todd, who plays Robert, he was reading one of the lines, or we were listening to it as Sarah Plum, who plays Catherine, and Reed Shirley, who is playing Hal, were doing a scene. And Todd just goes, that line, they said this right here. I don't remember the exact quote, but he was like, that goes back to this in my scene when I say this. Yeah. And, you know, it's layered. So if you come to see this all three nights, you literally will catch new Easter eggs every single time because it's so beautifully peppered in all these little details about the story. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
And Sarah and Reed are so
So amazing.
I love working with them.
Literally, I'm not going to share my insecurities, but I think I am so blessed to be a part of this cast, and my co-workers in this play are just amazingly talented actors. So super thrilled to work with them. Thank you.
There really isn't a weak tie.
Yes, I know. I've seen you in action.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So it's a wonderful group of people.
What's the venue like there? I mean,
Ellis Supper Club. It's funny. Obviously, the Montvale is an event center as well. A lot of times I've seen weddings there, and my buddy actually got
historic
married there.
Historic building.
Oh, yeah. And I remember I was sitting in the back once the wedding was over and we were in the kind of in-between sessions, and I just remember sitting there and I was like, oh, this is made for it. We got to do theater. We got to do some theater here. We were just talking about, you know, you see a stage and you're like, what can we, what, you start inventing, what can we do?
That's been used for so many different things over the past year. I know, was it last year or the year before? They had the ghost light dance event that was there through the whole building.
Yep.
I know Stage Left did their New Year's Eve party there. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so many different spaces within the Montvale, and the Ellis Supper Club is a nice big space. I believe it's on the second floor.
Correct. Yeah.
But they have an elevator for those that need ADA accommodations.
Yeah.
It's a nice, beautiful big space. And I was talking to somebody about that, and they're like, didn't we do our senior prom there? And I was like, oh my God, we did. So that's crazy. Yeah. It's a beautiful historic space.
Yeah. I've been up there for so many different things. Get Lit has stuff up there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love it. Yeah. So it's a wonderful space.
Very, very versatile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you able to rehearse in there yet? Or are you?
Not yet. That comes next week. So we're in our final rehearsals offsite, and then next week we'll go into tech, and then we're in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday are shows.
Yeah, I think people listening to the radio aren't in theater around here might be surprised to know that, you know, when you do these early rehearsals, that you try to find spaces and maybe rent get a room at the library and do it there or wherever you can find a place.
Well, I've never seen people as creative and resourceful as theater people trying to find a rehearsal space.
It almost seems to me like somebody could do pretty well just to have a business that just said, this is a theater space for rehearsal. Yeah.
I think there are places like that.
Yeah.
Opening their back shed or backyard areas. More.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. And that's something I've discovered with the producing side of it is, you know, you rent a rehearsal space, say 1 to 2 to 4 weekends, right? That's, you know, a couple nights every weekend. Whereas rehearsing, I mean, we are on a very fast schedule and, you know, you do several nights a week. So the rehearsal space is actually the biggest draw in terms of cost for spaces.
Yeah.
You know,
affordable space can be challenging.
Yeah. So
the Hive is so busy now trying to find a space.
It's almost like we need more and people to develop more.
And then the Hive closes kind of early too, right?
I mean, it's true. Yeah.
Why don't we let people know how they can come and see the show?
Yes. Yeah. So
Skylar's got all the information.
Absolutely.
All right. So instead of giving you a long link here, if you just go ahead to Google and you Google Proof Theater Spokane, you'll hit any community calendars throughout Spokane or Idaho, and that should have links to tickets as well as an email for any questions. And that email is being heavily watched. So go ahead and reach out.
Who's it being watched?
It's on social.
That's right.
I mean,
probably.
Skylar, very kindly answer your question.
Which reminds me, I forgot to do my, if you wouldn't mind indulging me, I usually do this thing when I come back, but lately I've been forgetting to let people know about the protests that are going on.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So let me just say this really quick. SaveUSA.me, which I usually get stuff from, has stopped posting. So if you want to know what's going on, go to Spokane Indivisible, PGELS, or Spokane Stands Up. Those are the best ones to do. But I kind of looked in the same things that I usually say are going on, because I looked into those organizations. And so you can go to www.pgals.org to learn how to support the Spokane 3. There's always Mikey Mondays to protest Baumgartner, and that's Division and Ruby at the V, the Median in front of Wendy. Get the Ice Out Wednesdays, and that is every Wednesday, 1 to 3 p.m. at the corner of Washington and Cataldo. That's the ICE downtown field office. Spokane Visibility Brigade, those folks who have signs up over the freeways. Mm-hmm. That's Thursdays from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. And that's at the I-90 overpasses of Sherman, Arthur, and Thor. PGLS has a deal where they're talking about nonviolent direct action. That's this Saturday. Or no, actually, that's already happened, so scratch that. Say It Saturday is coming up, and that is Saturday at B.A. Clark Park. That's on the corner of Euclid and Division. That would be the northeast corner. Northwest corner. And that's at B.A. Clark Park, and that's at 2 p.m. Okay, thank you for that. Thanks for indulging me in that.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
And so I was going to ask you about, so it sounds like this, the father in this play, mm-hmm. kind of was on the spectrum, maybe, or mental, was he having mental health problems? Or
yeah. What? Yeah. It's interesting because, in the research, each theater has kind of approached it differently.
Okay.
One thing I love about David Auburn is he layers it beautifully, but he never spells anything out fully for you. Mm-hmm. So what we've discovered is it was either that he was struggling with, well, sorry, let me go back. The character was based off John Nash Jr., which is the character that A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe, that movie was okay. made about. That was kind of the anchor for it, which he struggled with schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Schizophrenia.
And then as we went through the script, Todd, who plays Robert, was going through it. And I wanted to be specific because whatever choice we make is going to bring out different things. And he said through the script and through some analysis of it, it looked like we had evidence of bipolar disorder with mm-hmm. Severe depression and depressive episodes. So that's where we've landed with it. And he's done a lot of research on that. And we've gone into that. So, and then that's what we're bringing out throughout the play, mm-hmm. Which it's known that he struggles with that mental health. And part of the play is, did Catherine inherit that? His right. younger daughter inherit that from him?
We know yeah. she has some depressive yes. episodes.
Yeah. And we know yeah. she's inherited the genius, but has she inherited the struggles with mental health okay. as well?
Right. That's some of the fears that mm-hmm. she has as a yeah. character.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably pretty legitimate, you know, as mm-hmm. far as, and you kind of touched on that at the beginning, as far as being an advocate for mental health and all that, mm-hmm. that's something I think people do worry about. You know, it's funny. I feel like we've been conditioned to think about all our lives about the evil scientist or mm-hmm. the evil mm-hmm. genius, you know, mm-hmm. I think politically we've never been prepared for like the evil dolt, you know, I mean, and so I think that I like the complexity of that. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
What do you all do to kind of stay mentally good and take care of yourselves?
That's a great question. My therapist says to find self-care methods. And she asks me every time we go, what are you doing for self-care, Jess? I think just trying to find time.
Because you are so busy, Jess. You
I'm so busy.
Going all the time.
Yeah, a little too busy, but that's okay. I'm very excited. This is such a fun project.
Yeah.
Honestly, I will say that working on Proof has been a self-care for me because as busy as I have been and all the craziness that's going on in the local community as well as, you know, the nation, it can be really stressful and hard mentally. And doing the show and working with these actors and having my phone put away for all 3 hours of rehearsal yeah. or whatever the time is, I found has been such a way to fill my cup, to help me keep going on the other things that are draining it. So it's been really beautiful. I think making art with other people is such a cup-filling experience, whatever that specific way looks like. And so, yeah, theater people, you know what it feels like to work together and to feel that buzz.
Yeah, it's just because I think, you know, I think a lot of us, I always felt like I'm fairly an introverted person. But I've learned. I've learned to be extroverted.
Yes, you know? Professionally, you learned.
But so I always fought towards like solitary pursuits, whether it's reading or writing, or art. You know, but then there's that when I get to do theater and play with other people, it is such a good.
It's magical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a lovely thing.
For sure.
Yeah. How about you, Scott?
Yeah.
Self-care.
I mean, always, a big thing for me is, I mean, you mentioned it. I've stopped bringing my laptop and my phone into my room at night. I try to keep those out of there. My sleep has improved greatly because of it.
Yeah.
Boundaries. So important.
Seriously. And just getting away from the screen, any screen, really. Getting outside. A big thing I found, frankly, that, you know, just from my perspective, I feel is a huge thing for me that I've learned through my mental health journey is crying, frankly. It's, you know, talking out your feelings, letting yourself process it. And then something that I'm really passionate about is listening, and not only listening, but being heard and doing that for other people, as well as saying when you need it, you know. So, and I mean, me and Skylar have done this before as friends, you know, it's this thing where it's like, hey, I just really need to be heard right now. And would you listen to me? And then, you know, going through that and saying, yeah, you know, I'm here, and I'm not just listening to you, I'm hearing you. I've discovered how vital that is for us as humans. And I mean, you can pick the way that, you know, weaves into theater, but
human connection.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's getting away from the screens and really plugging in. Oh, I hate that. I just use plugging in, being present with other people and really, you know, listening to them, giving them space and you
communing.
Know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fellowship. Big
for me. Okay. Good.
My father-in-law likes to say fellowship with one another.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's such a nice term.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've been doing a lot of journaling lately because I'm also a solitary person, especially when I get really overwhelmed. But honestly, the thing that's been helping me out is just like Scott was talking about, just leaning on your community and knowing that you can share things with people and talk things out without kind of putting them on the people that you love, you know, learning the difference between talking to someone and talking at someone. And finally kind of letting myself lean on people has been like my personal big savior of this year. So
that's good. That's a hard thing to do,
boy,
isn't it?
Oh boy, it is.
I don't want to feed that.
No,
I want to give you stuff. I just want to give you stuff.
Don't
ask. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
How about you, Maeve?
Oh, yeah, me? Maeve. Oh, let's see. I like to run. I do my running. And you know what? I do Tai Chi. I took a Tai Chi class.
How fun.
And then I was reading this a book on David Lynch. And it was actually it was an audio book. And David Lynch, well, you know, he's telling stories about living in Spokane. That's great. But he was a big transcendental meditation guy. So I thought, I'm going to look into this. So
try some meditation.
Yeah. And so I went and they had like free classes for firefighters and veterans.
Oh, that's
so I got transcendental meditation. So I do that
specific
twice a day.
Specific to your background.
Yeah,
that's
twice a day I do that. Aww. And so I think that's good stuff. But you know, I think it'd be good to go back, just do some therapy. It's been a while for
sure.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm such a proponent of therapy. I tell everyone, I'm like, you get it for Christmas. Yeah. Everybody gets therapy.
It's
everyone.
Find your right person. Yeah. You know, it's like dating. Yes. You can't just go with the first therapist you get.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's wonderful. Okay, we got 1 minute left. I propose that we let people know one more time how they can see the show.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you go onto Google and you just Google Proof Theater Spokane, you should have many different options for you to click on and see all of the information on when the shows are happening, what time they're happening, where to get tickets, and where to send your questions.
Oh, yeah. Send questions. That's good.
Proof. P-R-O-O-F.
Anything else, you guys?
Go see theater.
Go see
support
theater.
Support local arts.
I had questions about AI and how this, you know, mathematics and all that stuff.
Oh,
I
was my goodness.
But, you know, it's only an hour long show. But
next time.
But really, truly, be a human and be be with some humans.
Gather with some people and not just theater. Go see music, go see performance art, go see everything. Let's be together.
Come see proof. Human connection.
I wish we had talked about that.
Oh my God, we should have talked about that. Nice.
Okay.
Oh. Next time.
Next time. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About today. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. And I will see you all next week. Bye now.
And on issues of economic fairness, women's rights, racial justice, corporate supremacy, environmental protection, theocratic rule, and other fundamentals, these unelected black-robed extremists are imposing an illegitimate elitist agenda on America that the people do not want and ultimately will not tolerate. Indeed, the imperiousness of the six ruling judges has already caused the court's public approval rating to plummet to a mere 38%, an historic low that ranks down there with Trump and threatens to go as low as Congress. This has led to a flurry of protests by the court itself, attesting to their honesty and political impartiality. "The integrity of the judiciary is in my bones," pontificated Neil Gorsuch, who now stands accused of having lied to senators to win his lifetime appointment. "We're not a bunch of partisan hacks," wailed Amy Coney Barrett, a partisan extremist jammed into the court in a partisan ploy by Trump in the last few hours of his presidency. "Judges are not politicians," protested John Roberts, who became Chief Justice because he was a rabid political lawyer who pushed the Supreme Court in 2000 to reject the rights of voters and install George Bush as president. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, in America, the people are supreme. We don't have to accept the rule by an illegitimate court. For reform, go to fixthecourt.com. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hey, I have a job for you. Hope it's not too hard. No, this is easy. Turn on your radio. Okay, tune to KYRS. And you're done. Cool. KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We've been told the American Revolution was fought over taxes and representation. But the last complaint, the thing our founders were most angry about, goes like this.
He has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages.
There's a racial slur in the Declaration of Independence.
Ahead of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, we'll speak with Cherokee journalist Rebecca Nagel. Her new podcast series, First America. She'll join us from Oklahoma. Then the Democratic Socialists score big wins across the country.
Another world is possible.
I think it's the biggest threat to our nation there is, maybe since our founding. That includes World War I, World War II.
As President Trump attacks Democratic Socialists, we'll meet Abir Kuwas, the Democratic nominee for New York State Senate. If she wins in November, she'll be the first Palestinian-American to hold office in New York State.